Welcome to C-Suite Radio.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
It's time for another edition of The Brett Allen Show.
It's go time, you and me!
Join us weekly for the latest pop culture interviews from your favorite TV shows, movies, comedians, and so much more.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you, felt good.
Plus, you never know who will drop by.
What happened here was a miracle.
Now, here is your host.
I said throw down, boy.
Welcome to the nice main event.
Brett Allen.
Oscar season is among us, and one of the films that's on the forefront that's so good is Killers of the Flower Moon, nominated, I don't know how many Oscars, many, many, many. And we are chatting with one of the stars today, Jillian Dion, who plays Minnie, one of the four Osage sisters. This is, I don't even know where to start with this film. It's so good. You do fantastic in it. Congratulations on this, and thanks for hanging out with us today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I believe it's 10 noms.
Wow. Right now. That's crazy. So how are you feeling to have been a part of such an amazing film? I mean, it's crazy how good this movie is.
Thanks. Yeah, it's life-changing, that's for sure. But it's also just like a really important story because I think a lot of people don't realize that it's a true story. Which is mind-blowing in itself, even if you know a little bit of the premise going into it, but then realizing what's happening on screen and what's depicted is actually authentic to what has happened to these women and the Osage people.
Yeah, so it is very much based on a true story. And I think when we see a film like this, it's hard to suspend reality a little bit because it's just so good as far as story, music, cinematography, acting, present company included, and you forget, but when you go into it knowing that it is based on a true story and these events did happen, it changes your perspective and your shift a little bit, if that makes sense. You think about things differently.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. It's just in the way that these women and these people were killed, basically. It's like it was gruesome. It was in the name of greed. It was anything from, you know, being poisoned to death to being blown up in a house. They took no prisoners, basically, in the name of financial gain, which is, it's still really hard to wrap my head around. Like going in, I was unfamiliar with the story, and figuring it out this way was such an eye-opening experience. And I'm from Canada, so I'm not terribly far away. So I was like, this is like, why don't we learn about this in school, or like the race riots that were happening at the same time? And it's just another thing that's sort of been covered up for, you know, obvious reasons.
Yeah, most definitely. So walk me through your audition process. How did it get presented to you? I know it's different every time. And what was that experience like for you? Did you know what you were auditioning for, or was it kept secret? Let's hear that. I think people enjoy these stories because they're so different every single time.
Yeah, absolutely. So we initially got the auditions, and it was under the name Grey Horse, which I wasn't familiar with, because again, I wasn't familiar with the story, but that's a region in Oklahoma. So basically the audition came down the pipeline. It was one set script. So we learned that, and I was approached to read another sister's character. So I did that. And then I was pushed back to the original sister that I had read for. And then pandemic happened. So everything that we had done had been put on hold for a whole year. So you kind of just go on with your life. You know, it's been a year. We knew who it was for. So we knew it was like a big deal. Like we knew who was attached to it in terms of like Marty. So just that in itself was just unfathomable to like comprehend as an actor. So the year had passed, and I had actually spent every day of that year utilizing the time because I wasn't sure if I was going to come back, but something in me really liked the project. I like what it stands for. I like what it educates people on. So I always had the script fresh in my mind. So I was given two different sisters' sides, and almost daily I would recite each of those lines in whichever way I could. So when it came down to it, the actual auditions happened about a year later, and like the project was back on. So it was like in full force. So we did the whole rigmarole again and just like auditioned like we would have from the beginning, just to give people a refresher, I think. When that had happened, I was like razor sharp, just because I had been doing that daily almost. So I think that was a big part of the success, I guess, of me being cast in the movie. And it was wild. I think all in all, before I got to see Marty, Mr. Scorsese, it was about 7 or 8 auditions before that.
Wow.
So it was intense. It was intense for sure. And then by that time, we got to know a little bit more about the project. And we got told it was based on a book. So I obviously went out and got the book and like started flipping through it as fast as I could, just to get a little bit more of a grounding in the story. And then, yeah, everything kind of just fell into place. And Lily being cast is obviously a huge portion of like who was cast after that, based on how we look as a family. So everything kind of just fell into place.
I mean, it's like a Cinderella story, really, like, because so many people are involved in this, and yet the process is so long, and I would imagine maybe stressful at times because you keep getting called back, and then a pandemic happens and everything stops. It's hard to, I mean, I know this because I do this all the time and talk to people. I mean, the amount of time it takes to get a movie going, but like almost 2 or 3 years, 4 years, and now the project's out. So what has been the greatest experience you have learned from this as an actor? Maybe one or two things, Jillian, that you will take with you onto the next project.
I would say definitely preparation is key. I remember watching an interview that Leo did, and his like advice, which I also took to heart on this project and going forward, is know your lines. Like, know your lines, because once you know those and have those in your body, then it gives you an ability to play with the scene and play with movement and be free in your body and like not thinking of what to say next because it's already there. So that was a huge one. And just honestly, just like be kind to everyone, like no matter who they are on set. I've run into my hair makeup guy, Mateo, just in random events, and it's so wonderful to see a familiar face because I'm so fresh to this industry. So looking across and seeing this man that I like love spending time with in the chair, and like, you know, getting to walk over and talk to him, or being able to recommend the costume designer to projects that I might be working on in the future, just to really help each other out. And you get a long ways in this industry by not being selfish, because I think we all have something to teach one another. So I think that was the biggest takeaway. And then also just watching, obviously, Leo and Marty and Bob work together, and just watching how that like trifecta was just so seamless. And if there was like a little bit of a bump in the road, it was such a learning opportunity for them, and just to witness what was happening and how small tweaks would be made to the scene to make it more fluid was just like, it was like watching magicians. It was insane.
So walk us back to the first day on set with these gargantuan celebrity stars, not to infantilize them, but like, were you starstruck a little bit? I mean, this is Leo DiCaprio, you know, Titanic, eating Gilbert's grape, Gangs of New York. I mean, we're talking mega, mega star power.
Yeah, absolutely. My favorite movie growing up was Romeo and Juliet, and then Basketball Diaries. So I was like a fan of his and always in awe of his acting ability and his ability just to transform into these characters wholeheartedly. So of course, when I met him, I was a little bit starstruck. It was pandemic, so we couldn't shake hands. We like cheersed coffees. And then I just started talking to him about the UFC fight the night before. So I was like kind of casually trying to like be like, I'm cool. Like I belong here, but yeah, like, obviously.
Like me, please. Yeah.
Basically. But I was like, okay, well, I guess that was like the most difficult part. And Janae and I hadn't met him at that point, but Kara and Lily had, and Janae and I were just sitting there. And then Kara was like, have you met Leo yet? And we're like, no. So she just like called him over, So again, that just kind of opened up the whole like really friendly cast, and just like kind of, you know, as actors on this, we all have to look each other as peers. So it really broke down like this hierarchy, I think.
Yeah, I love it. What do friends and family think? You're in a movie directed by Martin. I love how you call him Marty. This is like so casual. I'm sure he probably says, call me this or that, or you just get a vibe. But what do friends and family think of this amazing opportunity that you've had and how it's just put your career into a different stratosphere, as you said earlier on?
Definitely. They're proud. They're like super proud. I'm from, a lot of my family lives in Kahewan, Alberta, which is just northeast of Edmonton. And then the other half live in Cold Lake, Alberta, which is about an hour further north and east of that. So a lot of my family still lives on the res, and they're stoked to be seeing somebody that grew up around them being able to like reach for the stars and do so. And yeah, everyone's super proud, and there's just, you know, Facebook post after Facebook post of like interviews that I've done, or like, you know, pictures of me and my cousins growing up and them being super proud of, you know, what's happening. And I also, I think it's pride and a little bit of love and curiosity, which is nice.
Well, congratulations. And you do so good in this movie. It's just so beautiful.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Like, I'm so happy we were able to get you. I know you've been busy, and I think this is great. I mean, everything you've done obviously is important to you in your career and has gotten you to this point, but this is big for you, and the sky is the limit. So, I mean, are you texting buddies now with Lily and Leo and Marty? Just a fun little question at the end. I know it could be a very daunting experience, but you seem to be well adjusted with this. And I mean, it's just been killer for you for sure.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Not so much Leo. He's like doing his next movie, and but I hear what he's doing through the grapevine. And I talk to Lily once or twice a week, because she's also just insanely busy. Some of us have a group chat going on, and William lives in the same city I do. So for all these events, we inevitably end up on the same flight there or back. But yeah, I think the people that I've met in this, I'll hold on to friendships for quite a while. Like it's the first time I'd met Tatanka, and he's an amazing man. As well as it's mind boggling to me that I had not met any of these Indigenous actors before this, because it's a small community in terms of Indigenous actors, and getting to work with Tantu was one of my dreams. So that happened. And I actually work for her now, and we run a youth acting academy in Kikino Métis settlement. So I've kind of built a friendship out of that, and it's rewarding as all heck. So nothing but positivity has come from this experience for me personally. So I'm really grateful for that.
Yes. Well, we just recently spoke to a few of the actors from Marvel's Echo, and the same conversation about Indigenous storytelling and how it's such a unique and tight-knit community. But yet it's hard to say that we're talking about the fact that these projects are so rare, far and few between. And here's to hoping that it changes and we get more Indigenous storytelling, especially in this day and age with the way that there's so much content to stream and consume. But congratulations, you're awesome. Killers of the Flower Moon, 10 Oscar nominees. Do you get to go to the Oscars at all, or are you... You do. Oh, that's cool. Are you ready? That's a big deal.
It's a little surreal. I think I'm still wrapping my head around it, but excited.
Very cool. Well, Jillian, thank you for your time. Congratulations on Killers of the Flower Moon in theaters now. You're awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
You too.
Thanks for listening and being a part of today's conversation.
Thank you!
If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider sharing it with a friend. It's absolutely free.
Omega proportions.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of the host.
And remember, we care.